Urban Media Today talks sports with Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, Trevin A. Jones, and Alan Lincoln on Urban Media Today Radio.
Urban Media Today talking sports. Good morning, Saturday morning, 8 a.m. It's Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr. The big guy, what's up, man? I heard you're doing big things. I heard you're making things happen. You're getting better. That means your feet are touching the floor, and you're not down anymore. You're up and about and making it happen. So I'm glad to hear that. And I know we're getting ready. So when you come back and ask what's happening, we got answers for you this time, man. Anyway, glad to hear that you're doing better. Continue progress. And we can't wait for you to get back. Mic is always open. We always got a fourth mic right here just waiting for you to come back and talk with it. So make sure you make that happen. Anyway, today we're going to talk about sports like we always do. NCAA basketball, college football, NBA, NFL. And I guess we could start with the Super Bowl, can't we? Because if I may gloat, I know after we made predictions at the beginning of the year. And in those predictions, we predicted certain things for certain sports that will happen in 2018. Now, Vince Butts over here, he got off to a fast start because he, out of the four of us, was the only person to select Alabama to win the national championship. Now, we all know that shouldn't have happened because Alabama shouldn't have been there. But anyway. That's what happened. So he was up 1-0. Then, yours truly, and I did this in... And I have witnesses right here. We did this. When did we do this? We did this in December, right?
Yeah, it was like late December.
Late December? Yeah. Like because we were doing New Year's Eve predictions or New Year's predictions for the upcoming year. Okay, so in December, I picked the Philadelphia Eagles to win the Super Bowl.
Now did you pick them like with your heart?
Here we go.
Or did you pick them with your mind?
Here we go.
He put it on wax.
So I'm going to put it to you this way. If my heart wasn't pumping, my mind wouldn't work. So both of them were included in me picking the Philadelphia Eagles to win the Super Bowl. But no, truly, I only did it because it's closer to my hometown. We had that discussion before. So brought up right outside of Philly, like an hour and 10 minutes outside of Philly. So that's why I went with the Eagles. And I know my brother, he's loving life right now. Philadelphia Eagles win his first Super Bowl ever.
Yes, sir.
But then, you know what, Ray? You're an NFL analyst, but let's talk about that for a second because there's a lot of blowback going in the way of the New England Patriots after losing the Super Bowl. And the reason I say that, people are questioning Tom Brady now. People are questioning Malcolm Butler, who didn't get to play. People are questioning Coach Belichick, who made the decision not to put Butler in the game. And he actually said that it was a coach's decision and there were supposed to be certain reasons that it happened. And Butler's now coming out. Well, he came out in the middle of the week saying none of that. He said, I didn't miss curfew. Wasn't where I wasn't supposed to be. I was with my family the whole time. I was ready to play in the Super Bowl. Now, Ray, and you too, Vince, I'm bringing this up to say this to you guys. If I'm not mistaken, Malcolm Butler participated in 95% of the plays during the regular season.
Almost 98%.
98%.
Yeah.
So how do you get to the playoffs? Get through the playoffs, get to the Super Bowl, and this cornerback, who, by the way, was the hero in the Super Bowl 2 years ago?
About three now.
3 years ago?
Yeah.
He doesn't play a down on defense, only on special teams.
Yeah, it's a mess. And then, you know what's interesting? Two sides to every coin. If the Patriots would have won that game, nobody would be making a big issue out of that.
You don't think so? Because Malcolm Butler was crying on the sidelines during this part, Star Spangled Banner. So you don't think he would have said something even if they had won?
I mean, he probably wouldn't said it as much. Maybe he would have voiced it because he's going to be a free agent. But let's just say it probably wouldn't be one of the top stories. It'd be about Brady. They'd probably give him the MVP, six MVPs in the NFL career. Mm-hmm. And
not six. He didn't win a Super Bowl. He didn't win MVP in all the Super Bowls.
That's right, because the receiver won one. That's right.
Exactly.
Good point. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And Patriots tying the Steelers for the most in the NFL history. So all that talk would have been Patriots is Patriots. That Patriots. On a side note, Malcolm Butler didn't play. So all of a sudden, because they lose, everything just falls on them. Now Brady looking like a mortal, and everything's just falling on them, and of course the attention's on the Eagles. So yeah, it made me wonder too. And I know Belichick, he tries his best to downplay it, but it's a story that's going to continue to grow. Why was your top cornerback not in the game? Except on special teams.
I heard that he had a bad week of practice,
mm-hmm. And I heard that too.
And so there, I mean, there was some talk. Like I heard there were two of the captains for the Patriots confirm that he would have a diminished role. So, I mean, maybe no one expected him to not play at all on defense. But I don't know if you don't have a good week of practice. And I know people are going to make the argument that, well, if Tom Brady has a bad week of practice,
I was gonna say that.
You know, they're not going to sit him. You know, Tom Brady's probably not expendable like Malcolm Butler.
Even with a hand injury.
would Malcolm Butler, with the way the Eagles played on offense, right, would Malcolm Butler have made a difference? I don't know.
Despite what he says, right?
You know, I mean, Philadelphia did some very good things.
They did
on offense, and they went out. They had a game plan. They executed a game plan. The coach put them in position to succeed. They succeeded. So I don't know how much Malcolm Butler would have played. I know it's a story, but I don't have a problem with if Belichick says, you know, if he sits him for whatever reason. I mean, it's coach's decision.
Yeah, you know what it kind of reminds me of? And I like to dip into history a lot when it comes to reading, especially in the NFL. And I had read that in the first Super Bowl, in fact, even it was a championship game before for the Steelers, Mel Blunt, because he kept getting burnt so much by Cliff Branch with the Oakland Raiders, he got benched. And he was basically voicing it in the media day saying that was a stupid decision. I shouldn't have gotten benched. So it kind of reminded me of that in a sense, but you know, he was up in that Super Bowl and he got an interception despite how he played in that previous game. So yeah, it's surprising though. It really is surprising to see such a thing happen where your top corner does not play in the big game.
Now, I heard Vince, and I've also heard it, you know, we watch, you know, sports all week long, and we watch the experts, the gentlemen who are getting paid big time money to talk about sports. And I've heard this over the week, Vince, that a lot of people are saying, would Malcolm Butler have made the difference if he was in the game? And I pose this to you too, Ray. Now, Alshon Jeffrey from South Carolina was covered by a former teammate and roommate, Stephon Gilmore from South Carolina. Before Stephon was placed on Alshon Jeffrey was eating up the New England Patriots.
This is true.
Now, if Stephon Gilmore is one cornerback and he takes care of Alshon Jeffrey, why couldn't Malcolm Butler have been the other cornerback who might have shut down the Philadelphia Eagles receiving corps? Now, I've heard people say, well, he wouldn't have made a difference. I disagree, because if Malcolm Butler is as good as he has been, especially in the Super Bowl, you got Stephon Gilmore shutting down Alshon Jeffrey. Okay, so now I need my other corner.
Right.
I mean, in this day and age, NFL, cornerbacks, even shutdown cornerbacks, don't really shadow. They don't follow receivers all over the field.
So Stephon Gilmore is not really a shutdown corner. He was just assigned to Alshon.
Right. I'm not saying that Butler would not have made a difference. I'm sure he would have in some way, but I also think that Philly's game plan, Doug Peterson's game plan, was just on point. He was just on point. It was his night. They went out and he threw the stuff out there. The players did what they needed to do. So I feel like it was Philly's night. Yeah. And Malcolm Butler might not have made a difference. He could have. He very could have easily. He's made plays before. But I don't know that New England has shut down corners. They have very good cornerbacks that can help a defense.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, you know, if Malcolm Butler was a shutdown corner, I guarantee he would have played.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You know, I feel like I mean, we know the Belichick, the New England Patriots system, outside of Tom Brady, is plug and play.
Right.
You know, I mean, you can afterwards, it's easy to question Belichick's motives, decisions,
right,
when you come up on the losing end of it.
Absolutely.
But he's come up on the winning side so many times,
mm-hmm,
then why do you question it? I mean, we heard all season long, we hear the analysts. I can't, like, I watch Rodney Harrison repeatedly say, I just can't pick against the Patriots. I just can't do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, last week, you know, I gave some stats. One in particular stood out to me. The quarterback who has led the league in passing has never won a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And it held up.
Well, you're right.
That's so, you know, so part of me was at odds, and you have stats and you have trends, so you know you want to go with those. And I had picked New England because I thought they were the better team, but that night Philly,
it
just
was the night.
They were the better team that night. They came out with a better game plan. Right. They executed better. They came up with you know, the stop when they needed to.
Right.
And I think that was key. I think we have to get instead of focusing so much on New England because they're New England.
Right.
Why not lift Philly up?
Give them the props.
And give them all the credit. Correct. Right. Give them all the props, mm-hmm, for coming out and doing what they needed to do.
I certainly do agree.
And Doug Peterson, he knew who Belichick was. He beat Belichick as a player. He was a third-string quarterback at the time when he won the Super Bowl, so he really didn't get any playing time, but mm-hmm, he was on the winning team.
Right.
And then he beat Belichick as a coach, which means he knew the system. He knew his opponent. He studied his opponent. He knew his opponent. So I give him credit for that. And I give Philly credit because now Philly has two quarterbacks, two legitimate quarterbacks going into next season, in Foles and Carson Wentz. Not to mention, everybody's coming back for Philly. Everybody is signed into like 4-year deals, 3-year deals, 2-year, and they're not spending a lot of money. So the Philadelphia Eagles are looking good because these guys are now stars, mm-hmm, but they were locked into contracts where they weren't such superstars now. So now it's not going to be the request for these big bonuses, maybe once their contracts run out, or they might want to renegotiate. But next year, you're going to have basically the same Philadelphia Eagles team, which is just incredible to me. Another stat that you mentioned, Vince, was the fact that any team that Tom Brady had not faced, mm-hmm, during the regular season, he was undefeated against that team. Maybe they needed to play the Eagles in the regular season because the Eagles actually loaded up and was going. It was almost like a fast break NBA game in the beginning because it was like, okay, if I score, you score. If I, mm-hmm, score, you score, which made it exciting.
And to me, that's what Philly needed.
Right.
I mean, and we go back, and I felt like that's what Jacksonville needed. You know, I mean, you have to, you can't just kick field goals. You got to match. You got to not just match, but you got to stay ahead. So you got to, like, and Doug Peterson was aggressive.
And he was aggressive the whole game.
Very aggressive.
They had two fourth down conversions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, on the biggest stage, you know, like he made the calls and he got them right.
And he said there is no tomorrow, and he played like there was no tomorrow, and I think that was the key to the victory.
Absolutely.
And you know who else said that too? A former Patriot, LeGarrette Blount. I mean, the way he played, and he just looked like a straight up bull / Energizer, mm-hmm, bunny. And I kept yelling at the TV. See, I didn't fall asleep. I kept yelling at the TV. Use Blount. Sit down, Ajay. Use Blount. The dude had 90 yards rushing, man. Yep.
And Ajayi was doing this thing. See, Blount and Ajayi had something to prove. They were let go by teams. Blount was let go by the New England Patriots. Right. You know, and then you got Ajayi who was traded, on Halloween?
Yeah.
From the Miami deadline. Dolphins? Are you kidding me?
That's true.
They had something to prove, and they came out and they proved it.
And they just incredible. I mean,
it's amazing.
And I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I cut you off.
But they interviewed him afterwards because I watched the NFL Network's broadcast. And because I got so charged up, I had trouble sleeping. I was so excited. For Philly, and he basically said the same thing. He said, man, this is the last game of the season. There is no tomorrow.
Right.
I had to leave it all out on the field.
Right.
I was hungry. I was desperate. We were desperate. So it's so nice, and it's just a blessing to see a team that's never won the Super Bowl before finally get that trophy. And I appreciate the fact that they did not fall into the trap against the Patriots, mm-hmm, scoring points and then getting conservative. Mm-hmm. And then watching Brady get the ball with 2 minutes left, which honestly pretty much did happen. Mm-hmm. But look at how they just responded back.
And they made the play when they needed to. I mean, you just can't give Brady time.
Right.
And I mean, he had it with an opportunity, and that defense came up huge. I mean, they didn't have a sack all game,
and the one
and
that
got the
they
biggest
needed.
One of the game.
That's
biggest
for sure.
One.
Yeah. And with that win, so now it leaves only 12 teams that have never won the Super Bowl.
Incredible.
You got Cincinnati.
Did you have to go there?
Cincinnati. Of course, Cleveland. Detroit. Buffalo. Buffalo's been there four times, though. Yeah, but
still
Buffalo.
Still didn't win.
Arizona. And then you have, what, Los Angeles, the Chargers.
Right.
Atlanta Falcons have never won a Super Bowl. Jacksonville Jaguars have never won a Super Bowl. The Detroit Lions have never won a Super Bowl. The Carolina Panthers haven't won. The Houston Texans haven't won. The Tennessee Titans have not won. Minnesota Vikings have not won. The Vikings have also been there four times.
Right.
So, and I would imagine that either the Vikings or the Detroit Lions, the Lions have been around since 1930.
They still haven't.
Super Bowl one wasn't until 1963, I think, or
1966.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, that's 36 years prior to that. But then since 1966, they haven't won. So, and one more thing before we leave off of that topic, Josh McDaniel, man, did he do the okie doke to the Colts?
What is that dude's problem?
No, I think it's New England Patriots, man. I think the Patriots are just grimy like that. And when I say grimy, Patriots fans are going to hate me. I'm not a Patriot fan anyway. So, I mean, Bill Belichick, I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with all the accusations that are made towards the Patriots franchise with, you know, Deflategate and with the him stealing signals and all that kind of stuff. So, right. I mean, somebody saw something. So, right. All I'm saying is, I think what they did was they got with Josh McDaniel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they actually did. The powers that be got with Josh McDaniel, including Belichick, sat down and talked to him in the final hour before he was supposed to leave to go to the Colts, mm-hmm. and they persuaded him to stay. Mm-hmm. I ain't mad at him.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just, you know, and I say this just to be simple, but I think of McDaniels like I thought of Dan Quayle. When he was VP to the first George Bush. And remember when he coached, who was it? He coached the Denver Broncos and had all that issues with, mm-hmm. who was the former Bears quarterback? The name is slipping me at the moment.
Cutler,
yeah, Jay Cutler.
Who shouldn't even be playing now. Man.
Right, I mean, right.
Miami, what are you doing, man? You had Colin Kaepernick available. I don't get it. You had RG3 available. I don't
Lots
get
of
it.
Players.
You got, and then you gonna get Jay Cutler out of the before he goes into the broadcast booth, please. And where did it get you, Miami?
Nowhere.
It didn't get you anywhere. Go ahead.
I totally agree, and it just makes you wonder. You have an opportunity like this to coach, to be a head coach, and all. And I realize he's in a good situation, you know, with New England. He knows New England. He's his quarterback and all that. So it was odd. And I think part of me was wondering, okay. At first, I thought he had already accepted the position weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And then when I kept reading and saying he was expected to be hired, I think part of me just shook my head. It wasn't a surprise anyway. Because mm-hmm. Look at how he just came back after he was let go by Denver years ago, you know?
There has to be some understory there, though. I mean,
always.
He's going to be the predecessor, the successor of Bill Belichick.
And someone did
who I think is going to retire in the next 2 years because next year, he's not going to have anybody. Because Tom Brady, I mean, I really, really think that Rob Gronkowski is going to retire.
You really believe that?
I think he's going to retire. I think he's just not saying anything to anybody. I think Rob Gronkowski is beat up. And he's such a competitor. I think that when he can't compete at the highest level, mm-hmm. I mean, that he's going to get out. Because, and I know we talked about football for a long time, but I'm going to make this last point about Rob Gronkowski, who I don't like him right now. Mm-hmm. And I still don't like him because when the Buffalo Bill defender was on the ground, Rob Gronkowski literally set up, laid into him, gave him a concussion, put him out the game, and Rob Gronkowski got suspended for one game. Mm-hmm. Okay, I still have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. And people aren't talking about that anymore. It's like, okay, so how does he get a pass? Mm-hmm. Okay? Because anybody else would have been ejected probably for the rest of the season because that was just blatant. But anyway, I think his body's beat up, and I think that it's catching up to him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a great performer, but he hasn't finished the season.
Right.
I mean, well, he finishes the season, but he misses a certain amount of games during the season. So I really think that McDaniels is going to be successor to Belichick, and I think Belichick, just my opinion, is probably going to retire in 2 years because Tom Brady is not making it through next season. I don't care what all of you all think, and I don't care. He said talking about he's 40 and he can play forever. Okay, I don't know if anybody out there that's 40 years old is listening to me, but everybody knows what the human body is like at 40 years old. Okay, and even James Harrison is a freak of nature, but look how James Harrison lifts all the time. Look mm-hmm. at what he's doing. You don't see Tom Brady doing that.
No.
But Tom Brady is supposed to be this miracle type of physical
specimen. I think he's supposed to have some really crazy off-season workout regimen, diet and all that. I mean, I think the key to how long Tom Brady plays is
the offensive line of the New England Patriots.
And not just that, but that like his style of play is predicated on getting the ball out quick.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't take all those hits. I mean, I'd be curious to know how many hits Tom Brady has taken over the last couple of years, mm-hmm. just to see, because I mean, he gets knocked down and whatnot, but I don't think he takes physically. I don't think his body takes the same toll as a lot of other quarterbacks.
Okay.
And say not to say that their offensive line is that superior. It's just that I think their style is like we run wide receivers with quick slants. Let's get the ball out quick. Right. Every now and then we're gonna throw the ball deep. You know, we get a matchup. I'm Tom Brady. I see a matchup I like with my tight end going down the seam. So I want to take advantage of that. But for the most part, Tom Brady's usually is upright at the end of plays. Mm-hmm. So I think that's more a key to his longevity than anything.
What's also interesting is this, other than a telling stat that I found. Patriots obviously have 5 Super Bowl wins, but they also have 5 losses. They're the only team in NFL history to have that. And those 5 losses are the most tied with Denver in NFL history as well. So that's a telling stat. Also, in reference to a lot of stories behind the scenes, how about all the talk before the playoffs started about supposedly there was an issue between Brady, Belichick, and Robert Kraft? It's amazing how that got quiet.
Well, you know what? It got quiet, but then it came out. It showed its ugly head again as we got closer and closer to the Super Bowl, and even prior to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I think they just squashed it as much as they could because there's talking about dissension amongst the ranks between Brady and Belichick, and even Belichick and Kraft.
Right.
But to talk about that, also just recently this week when Brady took up for Malcolm Butler. That's showing you that there's still dissension there. Because when Malcolm Butler disputed all of the so-called rumors about why he didn't play, Tom Brady came to his back and said, man, I support you. And he put it on social media.
Yeah, love you, man. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's definitely still showing that there's probably still some type of dissension amongst the ranks there. The big thing for New England to me was when Belichick got rid of Garoppolo.
Right.
And sent him to San Francisco.
Yes.
Belichick didn't want him to go, I don't think. I think Kraft sent him to San Francisco.
You are right. Yes, sir.
So I'm thinking there that was a problem because mm-hmm. now, okay, I'm stuck with Tom Brady. And you're stuck with Tom Brady who's 40 years old.
Right.
Okay? He's not Jesus.
No, he's not.
Okay? So for everybody that's like, yeah, he's going to be the man. Vincent, I heard what you said. 40 years old, bro. That's all I'm saying. And mm-hmm. you're depending on that offensive front line.
I think Bill will be there as long as Tom is winning. He'll be there.
Okay.
When they're as long as they're in contention for Super Bowls, like Tom's Bill Belichick is gonna hang around so he can stay a part of that legacy. I mean, I know he has that persona like he doesn't care, blah mm-hmm. blah blah, but you know, a Super Bowl, one more Super Bowl or two, cements him as one of the greatest coaches of all time.
I don't see them making it past next year. I really don't. That's just me observing and watching football and now mm-hmm. seeing all this taking place. I just don't see it happening. All right, so we talked enough about the NFL, and we talked enough about the Super Bowl, which is a week ago now. But, you know, this is our first show after the Super Bowl. I want to talk about more football. Signing day was on Wednesday. February 7th was the big signing day. And Georgia, Vince, came out with the top class, supposedly. And then you had Ohio State behind them, supposedly. But Alabama did well because Alabama was missing what? Defensive ends. And they signed defensive ends. They almost sound like a pro football team.
The truth. It's amazing.
I mean, and they got the top defensive end prospect that you could get. So I'm like, okay, here goes Nick Saban again.
Wow. And I have to just tip my hat because when you're good, kind of like when we were talking about Duke and Kentucky in college basketball, when you're good, you just got it like that, where you could just get those top recruits. I mean, the son of Patrick Surtain. Mm-hmm. So let's see. And he's 6'2".
And he's a defensive back, right? Or is he a defensive back?
Yeah, he's defensive back.
Cornerback.
He's 6'2". Okay. I'm like, where do you get these kids from, man? Mm-hmm. And then the dude from Tyson Campbell, who got mm-hmm. grabbed by Georgia, 6'3". Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, they building these players like they're the Terminator or something like that. It's just amazing. But we tip our hats to them. That's just you know, I'm already excited about next year.
I know Georgia's excited. And
I'm sure,
you know, them. I mean, they have unbelievable to me. They have 7 5-star recruits.
Awesome.
Like the rich get richer.
That's the truth. They're like the Yankees.
But they, I mean, they didn't win the championship.
No, they didn't. They'll be right there.
I mean, they'll be there again, but they didn't win the championship. I'm like, okay, so
I mean,
there's no rebuilding. There's just reloading.
Got you. I got you.
That's probably the best phrase.
Well, my thing with that is, when you get this talent and you're competing for the championship, isn't that where the coaches come in? Don't the coaches have to really make this talent work?
Very much so.
They do, but having great talent helps. I mean, is great talent easier to coach than having to coach up the talent?
Okay.
It's both. You know?
I think there's a lot with that talent. You know, you watch these players and they have not just the physical gifts, they perform at a high level on a more consistent basis. That's probably why they're 4- and 5-star recruits.
Mm-hmm.
They've been there before. The moment's not too big. You know, they're in these tough environments, so they see it, they experience it, they understand it. It's not a big deal to be on the next big stage.
Okay.
So these guys have a lot going for them. A lot of them are probably cocky, which, yeah, I think you have to have a certain level of.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. When you're at the elite level of high school, I mean, you have to have some cockiness to you. You know, you have to, and you go out there and you show it. You play like it.
Mm-hmm.
So and I know that the guys, 3-star recruits, may have a chip on their shoulder to motivate them. And it may propel them through the weightlifting session, practice session, and things like that. But talent wins out.
Oh yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. And these teams, you know, Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Clemson, Alabama. Not only do they have the best talent on the field, but they have some of the best talent in terms of coaches.
Okay.
So they're able to not just attract the star talent on the field, but they're able to attract that star talent coaching wise. So it all goes hand in hand to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree. It's a balancing act. I mean, look at what Surtain said last week. They asked him why Alabama. He said because of the coach over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they win championships over here. We're used to winning, so I want to be a part of the winning culture. So right. Absolutely.
But in reference to Georgia, you talk about the 5-star athletes, and you got Justin Fields, who's out of Kennesaw, Georgia. Mm-hmm. He's just a dual threat, period. Mm-hmm. 6'3", 221. You got Zamir White, who's out of North Carolina. He's a running back, 6'1", 220. Cade Mays, an offensive tackle at 6'6", 318.
He's
out of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Brenton Cox, who's 6'4", 247, is a defensive end. And, I mean, those are just four of the 5-star players that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. So I get it. Georgia, the dogs are going to have dogs who can make it happen. Right. I'm not mad at that. My question to you was, when you look at someone like a Ohio State, continually gets big-time athletes. And last year, not even last year, for the past 2 years, you don't even get into the Final Four to play for the championship.
Truth.
So it's like, okay, something's going on there.
I agree.
You know, and that's why I say, is it the coaching? Is it the scheduling? Because this year, Ohio State, they had a five-star signee, Tyreek Johnson. He's a safety, 6'1", 191. He's ranked 21 nationally as a player, but number 2 at that position. They got Matthew Jones. He's a center, 6'4", 300 pounds. He's number 1 in the nation at his position. Mm-hmm. But as a player overall, he's ranked number 68. But he's a 4-star athlete. But Tyreek is a 5-star athlete. I'm like, you're getting athletes like that, but you're not getting over the hump, man.
Well, I mean, to win a national championship takes a little bit of luck too. I mean, think about. I mean, we debated all season with the college football playoffs and how the human element comes into it in mm-hmm. terms of ranking. Mm-hmm. So. I mean, some stuff is going to be out of their control.
Okay.
And I don't think it takes away from, you know, the product that they put on the field. I mean, I'm sure some could have argued that Ohio State should have been in the college football playoffs.
Yeah, they would.
And I know you would feel like there's a certain team that shouldn't even been in there.
Yep. Of course I do.
But I mean, you know, to me, there's a lot to it. These coaches do a phenomenal job of recruiting, of compiling talent, putting a decent product on the field. These guys, I mean, it's tremendous.
Yeah.
And they do it year after year after year.
Okay. All right. So there you have that. If you haven't been following, you need to be following us, because every day of the month of February, we feature a player from the TAJ Talented 10th Black College All-American team. Delance Turner was the first player that we featured, and then he was followed by Osban Thompson from Tuskegee. You need to check that out. Mike Smith from Langston was also one of the players that we featured. So go check that out to our website. Every day of the month of February, we have a Black College All-American featured. So check that out. And next week, we're going to have the top recruiting class from the HBCUs. We'll give you that information as well. See, we got you covered, man. Mm-hmm. Cover everything. That being said, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and we'll talk HBCU hoops. Well, we'll talk NCAA hoops, because I got to talk about my man. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports on Urban Media Today Radio.
Tune in weeknights at 8 p.m. for The Nightcap, your favorite slow jams for lovers. Or maybe you want to sit back, relax, and unwind. After a long day at work, you'll need a nightcap. So relax. We'll handle the rest. It's The Nightcap on Urban Media Today Radio. Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email Mary Jo at RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345.